Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Shot off the bar. Sabres there with some good puck play to get it to Zach Jones, who comes up with iron. And Benson finds Thompson. Sabres continue with the pressure here. 5-on-5. Over on the far wall. Here's Hellenius in front. Jason on top.
Still trying to narrow down a goal song for the blue and gold games this year at KeyBank Center. We got 40% of the way through the list last night, and here's hoping that this weekend against the Red Wings on Saturday afternoon, they'll be able to light it up a little more and we can have further evaluation. In all seriousness, low scoring affair, but very similar feel to the night game before for Buffalo against Columbus, which is undermanned Jackets from a star power standpoint. They are playing again tonight. It's 4 days in a row for Columbus. So if you're wondering, okay, why? Who are we seeing for them and who aren't we seeing? Okay, this is pretty good perspective as to why. But you know what? Nobody cares about the Jackets right now. The point is the Sabres, 6-1 combined, you know, results here over the two games against the Jackets.
So just to start with the goal song, a new day, a new vote for me. I decided I'd listen to all five again today. And yesterday I voted for Swords of a Thousand Men. Today it was Tick, Tick, Boom. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is that it went back to my Madden 2008, 2009. You know, like that song was really big on that game, I believe. And so it went back to this. So I voted for that today. And we didn't get to hear it last night. So it wasn't one of those last night that was played. But yeah, I think that we didn't hear the cannon on Monday in Columbus. And, you know, defensively, again, 5-on-5 yesterday. Overall, only one high danger chance the Sabres gave up to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Mm-hmm. It was really well played defensively. Look, Lyon was good, made a couple of really good saves. Levi came in, made 5, right? And if you looked at the highlights on NHL.com, and you didn't even see one of those saves because it just... there was nothing that Columbus pushed, especially late. Maybe the 6-on-5 a little bit, but I like the way the Sabres played. Mm-hmm. Again, managing the puck, even from the get-go, Duffer. So Thompson, Norris, and Benson are on the ice. They get a good shot. Dahlin one-timer, right? The first shift, 30 seconds in. They stayed on for the next face-off. But then there was about 20 seconds in, and they were tired. Tage, instead of counter and trying to attack, turned around and dumped it in and went for a change. And I'm like, okay, like I like a puck possession game when you're fresh, when you're 20 seconds in your shift, but 45, 50 seconds in your shift early in the game, dump it in, don't turn the puck over. So I felt like that was very evident in the way that the Sabres played. So you had to make Columbus really work to create some offense because you didn't take any unnecessary chances.
Do you think we will hear Tick, Tick, Boom on Saturday?
Yes, we will hear Tick, Tick, Boom on Saturday. Absolutely.
For the record, the Hives, who of course produced that song, played NHL All-Star Game in 2008. So that's vintage that we're going
and with. And I like that it is Tick, Tick, Boom, because that's, you know, one of the jokes in the locker room was always when a French guy would ask for tape, somebody would say thin or thick, and right. they would be like, can I get the tick tape or the tin tape? So I like that it's tick, tick, boom. So it just goes back to my speaking. So that's good.
Yes. And I don't know. I don't even, I guess you have to hear it in the moment. I think today's vote by you should maybe be the front runner. That's what my gut is telling me right now, but we'll see.
I do like it. It's a little different now. I do believe after a quick search that Edler with the Vancouver Canucks had that as his own personal goal song, maybe like 7, 8, 9 years ago when teams started to do that a little bit. But you know what? Like, we know what Kickstart My Heart is like. We had it last year as a goal song when the Sabres were blue and gold. Black and Red, we know that it's sung too by Blur, going back to the late 90s and early 2000. But yeah, I feel like Swords of a Thousand Men and Tick, Tick, Boom Now are my two favorites.
So you didn't like Every Time We Touch when that ended up being the game-winning goal on a...
And I like the song itself. Like, that goes back to my pooch, pooch, pooch.
Right, I was thinking
of you
last night. In the
club, like, moments, right? Like... It goes back to that, but I don't feel it in the game situation. And, you know, I don't feel the lyrics in that game situation. I just, it feels good. Like if I was out and had a few pops and I was like, okay, let's get going. Mm-hmm. And that song came on, it would be a different vibe, but I just don't feel it in the game moment.
Well, the winning moment was produced directly, if not unintentionally, by Hellenius to Zucker. And it was, you know, it was at a, I mean, the Sabres could easily have been miles and miles ahead in last night's game. But they truly did kind of just stick with what they were doing. They ended up having a massive disparity in shots and all the other metrics that they did in Columbus.
Again, mostly in the second half, right? It's something good to see. Mostly in the second half. You take over in the second half.
But even like in the second period, I thought one of the really impressive lines, again, you're factoring it up against, you know, the opposition, but Neuchev with Lecision and Rosanne, they produced far more high danger chances than any of the other forward lines last night. I mean, that may sound strange given how dominant Norris, Benson, and Thompson were from a shot attempt standpoint, but when that Lecision line got some looks, they were dandy ones. And I was, you know, Neuchev missed, you know, the end of last regular season, the playoffs, had long recovery of off season. It's a really tricky and challenging spot for him in his career right now. You know, he's trying to show why there was that draft interest in him. I thought there was a little flash of his best at the end of the Prospects Challenge when he got in on the Monday game. And I definitely think if you were paying attention last night, you would see why Neuchev is appreciated for his instincts in the game. He has very, very, very good instincts. And Lecision looked the part of a guy that can help Rochester this year for sure. And playing between Neuchev and Rosanne last night looked like a trio. And who knows what the trios will be. There is tons of depth potentially in Rochester this year. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention that line from last night.
That's a really good point. And, you know, like I'm watching it on Sabres.com. And I'm like kind of wondering, like, who's 13? Like, I'm thinking, okay, that was Josh Norris last year when he came in, but he switched to 9 and 6, and who's 13? And I had to go to my game sheet, and that's Lecession. And number one, I laugh because I was a big fan of his dad when he played for Quebec early in his career, Curtis Lecession. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, the son, and he was born in Carolina when dad played for the Hurricanes. And so there's hockey pedigree in there. And I thought he stood out, like number 13. Like the number stands out, but I thought he stood out. Neuchev, I saw him practice in the prospect challenge because he was still not ready to come back like the first day, right? So the very first game that they had in the prospect challenge, the Friday morning, I was watching their morning skate. We had the show from Lecom Harbor Center.
Yep.
And he was still not ready to come back. He did come back a little later, but I worked him like practice and attack the net and do some like skill drills. And I was like, whoa, there's something there. Look, he was listed 5'11", maybe 170 pounds. Obviously, a slender, smaller figure. But everybody's been talking about how he gained some muscles and he gained a little mass, and it showed. And I thought Roseanne played well with those with those two. So yeah, that line was good. Helenius for me was the one that stood out the most. Mm-hmm. He had a chance in the first period when Zucker gave him the puck. He came out down the right wing, his off wing, put it over the net, right? Fedotov was caught out of position. Yes, there was a little bit of an accidental play on the Zucker. I think Alenius is trying to make a play, but good players sometimes by losing the puck, by being in the right position, will make a good play. Mm-hmm. So Zucker ends up potting it in an empty net, basically, for the 2-1 goal. But I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh, like you have McLeod, you have Zucker. If you've got an injury, would you want to put a Helenius, young, talented player on that line? I would think that Konsa is going to start in Rochester, but
yes,
as soon as you got an opportunity and it is to play with a couple of veterans or on a skilled line, instead of elevating a Krebs or a Malenstein or no, grab one of those guys that deserve that opportunity, like Helenius, and put him there. And I thought he jumped ahead of the line right now in the way that he's responded after a so-so prospect challenge.
Well, in the eyes of some, this has been a long-time problem within the game of hockey, is never promoting skill when skill is needed in the lineup, right? You carry 12, and as I have been told about this, not being, you know, it might have preceded my era of totally understanding the game a little bit, but back when the rosters were smaller and you didn't have as many forwards to choose from, i.e. fourth line players, that was more of the door for the higher scoring AHL player to come up and actually get real minutes as opposed to being put in a 5 to 7 minute situation on a fourth line. And I think everything you're talking about is exactly what they're experimenting and or hoping with Helenius right now. And that doesn't necessarily mean that he is past Östlund or Roseanne on the depth chart, although his draft pedigree puts him in a place to do that. But he's younger. And I just, if anything, the other guys who are not named Helenius should see this.
Oh, right? 100%.
And it's like, holy cow, I would love to play well enough in the first month of the season to get called up if necessary and play with Zucker and Tuck or Zucker and McLeod or whomever, right?
Or Thompson and Norris because maybe there's that opportunity. And it goes back to 20 years ago, and I know it's a long time ago, but in 05-06 when we started having like injuries, like what did they do? They called up Pominville. They called up Roy. They put Vanek in a scoring position. Mm-hmm. They had Drew Stafford moving up like – you had skilled players being given that opportunity, right? So much so that when those guys, like I remember when Briere and Dumont came back from the sports hernia, it was like, oh, what are they going to do with the Pominville and the Roys? But no, they've earned their spot by that point. The team was better. It was a new NHL based on skills and scoring. And okay, and look at what happened. So I think you've got to look at it that way. And everybody's got a role. And, you know, you have to fill in your role, but if you do have an opportunity to play more meaningful offensive minutes and Helenius was given that opportunity now, he responded. And I love, and you talk about other players, pay attention to what Lindy Ruff is talking about. Mm-hmm. Lindy did not like Helenius' penalty with about 4 or 5 minutes left. This is a hooking penalty. Well, keep your stick on the ice.
Yeah.
He put him back out there, and he loved the response. And now,
would he put him back out there in a regular season game, though? That's the
well. You know what? you're probably right, but my thinking is that okay? Like, how would I say this? Like, learn things in preseason too as a coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And I tell the story of me and John Tortorella. He pulled me out of a game in New York against the Islanders. I gave up three goals in the first 12 minutes, and he pulled me and put Lundqvist in. And after the game, I went into the office. I said to Torres, and I was a veteran, and I said, listen, I know I didn't have the good start, but I think I can get myself out of it and keep it at 3 for the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I can flip the switch and give me that opportunity. You don't know me as much. That was my first year. Give me that opportunity. And 2 weeks later, we had a game against the San Jose Sharks at home at MSG, and people are screaming, "We want Lundqvist." It's 3-0, right? And I looked over at the bench, and Torts gave me the Heisman, like, "You're staying. Show me what you got."
Yeah.
And we ended up winning 4-3 in a shootout. Now, different situation. I'm a veteran. I've been a number one. I've played, you know, 500 games, whatever. But I do feel that if you're Lindy Ruff, and now you've tested that on Alanis, not saying that he's going to take 5 bad penalties and every time you're going to put him out there, but one mistake doesn't mean you sit on the bench. And it means learn from it, especially early in the season. Build on that.
And this is a very isolated example because it's a top pick that had been playing well and had earned the right, you know. And so that in itself is a lot like if Thompson takes a penalty with 5 minutes left, is he not going to get used when he comes out of the box?
Probably he's coming back.
Probably going to get used, right? But what I was going to say when you broached this subject about the Hellenius penalty, I really liked the tone with which Lindy spoke about. Now, obviously, there's no reason to be inflammatory. Don't tell that to Dean Evason. But there's no reason to be inflammatory at this time of year.
Or right? Pete DeBoer, who doesn't have a job now because of it.
But incredibly, and this is the circle of life and how things come around, remember how Lindy, and you dropped Darcy's name not long ago, so how Lindy and Darcy approached the new era of the NHL coming out of the work stoppage of 04-05. Mm-hmm. The number of times Lindy talked about where the stick can't be. Oh my gosh, I feel like I heard that. Oh, and guess what? The Sabres came out of the work stoppage, and I would have to do some fact checking here, but it felt like they were on the right side of power play advantages for a while before other teams around the league caught up and before the league started to change back a little bit, which is part of how Anaheim won the Stanley Cup in 2007.
If we had a barfing emoji back then, every time, like, there would have been a quote on social media, like, we need our sticks on the ice and can't have sticks parallel to the, it's going to be hooking. Yeah. People would have been replying with barf. Like, we've heard it, like, enough now. Mm-hmm. But we had referees come into training camp because it was new for the referees too to like call penalties, and it was like as soon as your stick got up, penalty, and it was like nauseating. It was so bad, but it helped. And I think that's a good lesson for Alanis. Look, it's training camp. You're gonna get called. Would you get called on that penalty in March or April or even in the playoffs? I don't know. But you're getting called now, so be careful on that. Mm-hmm. But go back and, you know, give me another shift. And I think if you're Kulik or Roseanne or Austin or, and you're seeing that, like, okay, like this is a team and a staff that's not gonna sit down and you know, kind of not even look your way. They're gonna give you that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and take it. And Alanis took it last night.
Lots to get to around the NHL, taking your thoughts as well. So why don't we, as we try to put a bow on last night's victory, which was 2-1 over Columbus. So they take the first and only 2 preseason meetings with the Jackets. Now it's 2 against Detroit starting tomorrow and then Saturday afternoon in Buffalo. But Detroit tomorrow on the road, that's a game that'll be streamed on Sabres.com and heard right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. So you get 2 with the Wings and then 2 with the Penguins to close it out. But all the talk, much of the talk going into last night and maybe flies in the face of your opinion, was Benson with Thompson and Norris. Now, I was excited, obviously, because really wanted to see Josh Norris get just get going and have a strong start. Every single number points to the fact that they had a strong start, so much so that producer Jeff solicited one word from our audience today on social to describe this line. So electric, playoffs. Nope, not with a question mark. Sorry, playoffs. Skilled, gorgeous, smooth. I'm reading this on the fly. I have to be careful. Yeah. We don't have any bad ones in here. Magic, temporary, speculative, intriguing, and the one that resonates with Marty most on a one-word answer, fun to watch.
Yes, that's good. So here's the deal, Duffer. I'm speaking to everybody that's in my age category now. Like, I had to be fasting for a couple of days because yesterday was my very first colonoscopy. I'm sharing to the world, but it's like, it's what it is.
I'm raising a glass of Metamucil to you right now.
Thank you very much. You know, the fiber. So not only did I have my first meal in a couple of days and I was enjoying what I was eating yesterday, Benson made me eat my own words because on the show yesterday, I was very, very, what could I say, concerned
cautiously,
by this.
Cautiously, I don't even know if you were cautiously optimistic. That might be the wrong phrase too.
No, I was concerned with the fact that Benson, I didn't think would fit with Norris and Thompson. I love Zach Benson as a player. I think he's that Claude Lemieux, Brad Marchand type that goes in, gets the puck, works hard. But does he have the skill level to be a top line winger and then to find Norris, to find Thompson, to make plays, not just enough on the forecheck, but in transition in the neutral zone? And I was eating my own words as I was enjoying, you know, my first meal in a few days, because every time I saw Benson with the puck, there was confidence. There was confidence in the neutral zone, finding Tage coming down the right side for a good shot in the first period off the rush. Obviously, the play on Thompson's goal. But I was very, very pleasantly surprised with how those three played together. Now, they did play against a very less than NHL level top line yesterday. But when you look at the 5-on-5 numbers, they dominated the, you know, I think the shot attempts for that line were 17-1, at 12-1 shot attempts when they were on the ice. So they dominated, but the plays and the chemistry was there. So thank you, Zach Benson, for making me eat my own words yesterday. It's only one preseason game. I'm going to say this, like, let's not go out and get all like, woo, this is a top, like, okay, let's see it. You know, consistently being able to do that. That's why we got somebody saying temporary.
Temporary, yeah.
Temporary was one. Like, okay, it's good, but temporary was one. Skilled, gorgeous. I like it. I'm on board with all of that, but I'm going to need to see it more, and I'm pleasantly surprised.
52 years later, after thank you, Sabres, we get thank you, Benson.
Thank you, Benson. Thank you, Benson. Thank you, Benson.
this could be a thing. Oh, man.
No, but it's true, though. Like, I heard Jeremy and Joe talk about it this morning on WGR, saying, what's his love? Where can he go? And Sneaky Joe said, I think Benson can get 70 assists. And Jeremy White put the brakes on that. He goes, listen, there was four players with 70 assists last year in the NHL. They were
Kucherov,
MacKinnon, and Mitch Marner. So listen, Benson is not a 70 assist guy. No, probably
we'll
not
40.
Even a 50 assist guy. Well, but
40 would
be
unbelievable.
40 would be great.
40 would be unbelievable.
15 goals would
Look
be
at
55
his career
points.
I mean, yeah.
He had 28 points last year, or whatever it is. Like, let's pump the brakes. But I did like what that was put together. So I'm gonna give it a chance.
Well, it's possible that through all of this, the one figure, and maybe this is why we don't do it all the time, but it was his first preseason game, and he tends to dominate, and it's Rasmus Dahlin, right? Like, there were more oohs and ahs in the arena last night created by Dahlin, which is often the case. And he was a presence, you know, before that goal that ultimately put them in the lead, with his physicality. And that's the stuff, like, just let guys feel the all scenarios impact of Dahlin, right? He can make you look silly inside of his zone trying to get it out more often than not at the offensive blue line, but wherever he pinches down to engage physically, I think he still, despite this being year number eight, I think he surprises people with the pop that he, you know,
the
hits people
thickness,
with.
The thickness and the heaviness that he can show. Now, look, in the first period, there was a couple moments in the defensive zone where he was a little lackadaisical and casual and didn't end up in the net. If that ends up in the net, that's the first clip on social media. Look at, but again, let's go back to, if it doesn't end up in your net, if you're getting a save, it makes the whole narrative different. And I'm not saying that Lion saved the world last night because he didn't have to. I'm not saying that Georgiev saved the world the night before, made some good saves. But there was some turnovers. I think the Sabres were credited on the game sheet with 11 or 12 giveaways in the game. Mm-hmm. So there was some giveaways. Dahlin, I think, had a couple.
Yep.
But you're not looking at it negatively because it doesn't end up in the back of the net. And then you say, oh, look at that play at the blue line by the Columbus bench when he put it through the feet of the defender and came out the other way. The one-timer, the heaviness on the pinch right there before the Zucker goal. Like, okay, that's great because this is what we need to expect out of Rasmus Dahlin. And there's going to be some casual plays defensively. And sometimes they will end up in the back of the net. But when it doesn't, we forget about those very easily.
Talked about the wins right off the top. Talked about the goal song, which, again, needs your attention. We had two versions played on the final five list as we... That was last night when Buffalo scored twice in their 2-1 win over Columbus. But we're down to five. We're whittling it down to one for the goal song this year when the Sabres are playing in blue and gold. So this is your opportunity to vote on a daily basis. And, you know, just by getting involved in this, you enter to win two tickets to the home opener. And you can vote once a day. Now through October 3rd, mm-hmm. Winning song will be announced in advance of the home opener, which is, of course, October 9th. But as mentioned, next home game, where hopefully you hear all five of them in one sitting, that would be nice, begins on Saturday afternoon at 3 against the Red Wings. So again, sabres.com/goalsong. We're back after this to zip around the NHL right here on Sabres Live.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just got a little boost, Marty.
Of what?
Well, let's just say that during the preseason, and this has always been the case, not always easy to like compile statistics, trust that everything's going to get updated in a timely manner. The league promises through this site that we use in the media that they will update on a daily basis. Anyway, seconds ago, that site updated. So I'm happy to report the Sabres are still atop the Atlantic Division. 2-0. And it's now I have to ask you, who do you think is leading the NHL in preseason points?
Oh, boy. In preseason, I have no idea.
That's the correct answer. Because while Miles Wood scored last night against Buffalo, Matthew Wood, a rookie for the Predators, is leading the way with a goal and four helpers in two games so far.
Now, you remember what happened last year in preseason, but do you think our fans, like off the top of their head, if you said Sabres are 2-0 this year, do you remember what happened last year in preseason?
No idea.
People would not remember. Now, I'll tell you what happened. They played with their main group for a couple of games before heading over to Europe.
Yes.
And there was the Rochester Americans playing all the preseason games.
And they played well.
And they played well and they won and they battled. And then, but preseason, you forget about it as soon as game one happens because it does not matter. Does not matter at all. The results in that, the preparation, everything matters, but yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Has Devin hasn't allowed a goal, has he?
No, he played two periods, the third period in both games. And Devin? I think he's made probably nine saves in two periods, four and five, maybe.
This is funny. I'm looking for Levi here in goals against, and they don't have him listed despite the fact he's played 40 minutes. Anyway.
He may have not played, maybe you need to play at least one game 60 minutes to be listed.
No, because Georgiev tops the list along with Hildeby at 40 minutes with nothing, and Nedeljkovic as well. So anyway, that was all just fun and games.
The good thing is that on NHL.com, I know we have our own media site through the NHL that we have access to, but NHL.com, they are not listing preseason stats.
No.
So that's what really matters.
Well, anyway, I don't know. We've probably heard something like this over the course of time, but Marco Sturm, new coach of the Bruins, says, we need Zadorov to be a leader this year. Well, last night, the Bruins were down 4-1 in the third period to the New York Rangers when Zadorov unlocked the door to the room by way of his overtime heroics. So,
yeah, and Zadorov, I love Big Z, and I remember him getting drafted, and I was on the ice with him during the summertime, and big kid at heart, and we were in Vegas at the draft a couple of years back, and ended up in the elevator with the Big Z with a robe on. He was on his way to the spa, and I love him, right, because he's got such a good personality. He's a tough man, big guy. And he scores in overtime at MSG. And because of where he scored, the door to the Zamboni and the exit for the visiting team was right there. He decided to take the door. We've seen that happen. Matthew Tkachuk has done it, whatever. But I'm like, come on, Z. This is preseason. You wasted a really good regular season overtime celebration in a meaningless preseason game. So there's kids on the Boston Bruins that were probably excited. The backup goaltender, I don't even know who is the backup, but he's in that corner. So Z scores, goes to the door opens, he goes out. Nikita Zadorov goes right out to the locker room. That backup goaltender jumped on the ice to go celebrate with his partner at the other end of the ice. So I'm like, it was awkward, right? It was a weird celebration, maybe wasted in preseason, but I do like, so the Bruins have made some changes in their uniform and the stripes and everything.
The freshness
of the white jerseys were good yesterday. I know. Duffer's going with the sound effect. That sounds like, exactly.
Concern in the crease for two of Buffalo's division rivals. Obviously, the situation in Toronto is Joe Woll taking a leave of absence for a family matter. Last night, Hildeby played really well. They ended up losing a 2-0 lead in the third and falling in overtime to Ottawa. And these results are obviously irrelevant. But it's a reality that Toronto's dealing with. And Tampa has not had Andrei Vasilevsky on the ice for any of the last 4 days. I'm way more concerned with Tampa.
Look, Vasilevsky was lights out last year. He was actually third in my goalie ranking entering this season with Hellebuck and Shesterkin at 1 and 2 and Vasilevsky at 3. After the back surgery 2 years ago, he was back to form. So this is a concern. Not having Vasilevsky on the ice, having to rely on Jonas Johansson for a little bit. I know that John Cooper, they did it a couple of years back and they were fine. They still made the playoffs and everything, but I would be concerned right now if I'm Tampa. If I'm Toronto Duffer, I'm not concerned at all, because last year we saw Wall getting hurt. Stolarz played well. Stolarz got hurt. Wall played well. They have Dennis Eldeby, as you talked about. He played well last night. And they have a kid named Akhtiamov, who is really, really good. And maybe that opens the door for the Leafs to say, hey, you know what? We're going to get Eldeby and Akhtiamov some minutes in the NHL. So yeah. I'm not concerned with the Leafs, but I'm very concerned in Tampa and what is going on. Because, look, the Eastern Conference this year, for me, is going to be a dogfight. I mean, it's just the way it is. Ottawa wants to stay in the picture. Montreal wants to stay in the picture. The Rangers want to get back in. The Islanders want to get back in. Buffalo, Detroit wants to get in. You know, Tampa wants to stay there. Carolina, New Jersey, they want to stay there. There's going to be a dogfight of about 10 to 12 teams out of the 16 teams, in my opinion. And if you're Tampa and all of a sudden you don't have your star netminder to start the year, it's going to be tough.
Right, but we're nowhere near that, and nor has that been suggested. We're just merely stating the facts that Vasilevsky has not been on the ice for each of the last 4 days. What else is happening within the division? There was one other thing I wanted to get to. But, oh, well, with Tampa, did you see the quote from Victor Hedman? Apparently it was during the players' media tour. Ryan Kennedy from the Hockey News asked him about Florida. They are not going to win 3 in a row.
I like, that's a great NHL.com headline right there. Like, that is better than, you know, I'm in the best shape of my life, or the casual stuff. Like, this is Victor Hedman. He understands the rivalry between Florida and Tampa. The fact that Tampa, you know, won their back-to-back, went to 3 straight cups. Now Florida does it in reverse order. They lost one, then won back-to-backs. There's a lot there. There's a great rivalry in Tampa, and I love that Victor Hedman is saying, no, they're not going to win 3 in a row. And Victor Hedman, by the way, he had a fantastic year last year. When I think of another player that is aging but is, like, finer over the time, like a really good wine, like, that's Victor Hedman. And he was really good, and they need him. Like, that Tampa team,
that's the crazy part,
has lost some parts. They need him.
You're looking at just how the Sabres are constructed right now, right?
Yeah.
With young defense, and imagine if it ages together, and like if one of them has production that's dropping a little bit. Well, who's to say that like a younger version like Power doesn't, you know, take over that mantle? That's not the case in Tampa. Like, Victor has just had to be, and it helped bringing McDonough back to the organization. There's no question about that. But my goodness, the steadiness of Hedman is something. What a luxury to have as a coach every year, believing that you know, you're going to get something similar from all the years prior.
Unbelievable luxury, and that's great. And, I mean, you talk about Tampa. Let's stick in the Atlantic Division. Mm-hmm. So Montreal played a preseason game last night and a day against Philly. And the line of Suzuki, Caulfield, and Slafkovsky really lighted it up. They were good. Caulfield scored early in the game, Suzuki later. So I was asking myself, because we've been talking about top line, right? The Sabres top line, Thompson, Norris, Benson, whatever. Where would you put Thompson, Norris, Benson in the, you know, top lines in the NHL? And I'm still not sure. I'm like, is this middle of the pack? Depends. If Tage Thompson has 45 to 50 goals, it's top 10 because you have a guy that scores that many. But I look at the reason Montreal made the playoffs last year was because of that line. Because they had nothing after that. That was because of that line. I did not believe it, but I pulled the numbers on Money Puck. They were the top scoring line as a line last year. They were on the ice for 49 goals for. Better than the Shifley, Connor, and Velarde line. Better than the Gensel, Point, Kucherov line. Better than Ross, Crosby, Raquel. Like, they were the best line. Suzuki, Caulfield, and Slafkovsky last year in the NHL when you look at just the goals for that they've scored. And add Hudson into the mix, like in his ability to join the rush. They added Noah Dobson. They have Caden Gooley. Like, that top line could be another one of those X factor this year. Now, the Rangers have the top players that could be an X factor. Sabres could be with Thompson and Norris X factors, but that's the reason Montreal made the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. They really played well last night, but if they don't get that type of production from their top line, I don't see Montreal in the mix. But if they do, it's going to be, again, you know, a tight like race to those playoff spot.
How concerned are you for player and team when it comes to the McTavish in Anaheim and Luke Hughes situation in New Jersey?
I am concerned for both of those teams because New Jersey...
Teams more than players?
Yes, teams more than players. I do feel that this would get resolved, and December 1st is the deadline, right? Like those players have to be signed by December 1st or they cannot play in the NHL this year.
Right.
That was William Nylander with the Leafs a few years back, and he got it done like late November. But I do feel that McTavish and Hughes will get their money at some point. But there is in a very, very good chance that you start the season, if you're New Jersey, you don't have Luke Hughes, and you stub your toe. Anaheim especially without McTavish. Like, this is a big season for Joel Quenneville, Pat Verbeek, and the Anaheim Ducks. And if you start the season without Mason McTavish, that's a tough you know, player to replace. So I think because of the way the East is, if New Jersey doesn't come off to a good start and they don't have Luke Hughes, and if it's a distraction for Jack Hughes on top of it because his brother's not there, and Anaheim doesn't start well without McTavish, both teams could be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, the worst look, though, is for Anaheim because they have so much cap space. It's understandable it's what the Devils so, are trying to do.
Such a bad
here.
Look,
yeah. Yeah, it's just really tough. So we haven't had
and
a chance.
And they made so many, like, decisions this year. We're going to trade Zegras. We're going to, you know, bring in Quenneville and all of that.
And Granlund and Kreider.
Yeah, and then you're going to decide, and Kreider to trade, but you're going to decide to not have one of your best players sign? Yeah. Like, that's a very tough decision to make.
Where do you think Carter Hart is going to end up in goal?
Well, Carolina was rumored. I don't see Carolina just because Anderson, unless there's some physical concerns before October 1st, because that's the date that those players can sign. Mm-hmm. You know, they can start training. Anyway, there's dates in there. They can start talking to teams on October 1st, sign on the 15th, start trading November 15th, and join the teams December 1st. But Vegas has entered the chat. And to me, Vegas is a very, very likable scenario. I'm not sold on Aiden Hill. I saw Aiden Hill kind of dip a little bit last year. They have Akira Schmidt as their backup. I think Carter Hart in Vegas would make a lot of sense. And look, it's Vegas. They somehow, like, everything works for them. And I think if you're Carter Hart, you're saying, let me get to a place where I'm going to hide, right? I'm just going to go and play, and Vegas is probably the best place for that.
Well, wouldn't you think that it would be a shorter-term, low-money deal for Hart?
Yes,
based on having to try to get acclimated again with the NHL?
Or
do you think somebody is going to just come in and say, oh, no, we've wanted this player for a long time, and they're going to give multiple years and more money than we can imagine?
I think it would be a low term and okay money. I'm not saying league minimum, but I'm also not saying $4.5 to $5 million. But maybe you're given a 2 year deal at $2-2.5 million a year to bring in a guy. But also, to me, Carter Hart and the other players, they may start with a conditioning stint and play some game in the AHL. Like, Carter Hart hasn't played a hockey game in 2 years. Like, December of 2023 was when things got put on hold, and he hasn't played since. He didn't go to Europe, didn't play any games. So if you're Vegas or Carolina, you're probably saying, hey, December 1st, you're joining the team, but you're going to go play two, 3 weeks in the American League. And we're thinking, you know, January of 2026 as a time where you join back in the NHL, which maybe those two teams are.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking at where are we going to be in January, because we've dealt with injuries and goalie issues in the past, and that just makes sense to play the long game with a guy like Carter Hart in that way.
More numbers and maybe birthdays when we come back on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Trust your instincts, kids. Yesterday, I double-clutched on birthdays when I said that Donald Haddad and Dixon Ward wore black and red and blue and gold in Sabres history. And then I was like, did Dixon catch the blue and gold? He did. He caught it for eight games before we flipped. So, woohoo! Happy.
Dixon Ward was at the Sabres Foundation golf tournament. He's kind of moved out east again, and we'll see him a lot more this year. And he's one of the best at doing the 9-3, open up the skates, open up the hips, and the million-dollar flip, like in the neutral zone. Let's get that puck out of the zone with a flip in the neutral zone.
Did you see the Athletic piece on best goaltenders to wear all the jersey numbers?
I did not see it. Somebody sent it to me. I did not open it yet. So I hope I was there for 43. There's not a lot of goalies that have worn 43.
You were number one at 43, but you did not win double zero. John Davidson got that.
I will give it to John Davidson, even though JD did not like that number. He only wore it 1 year and had a bad year and was like, I hate that number. And he changed and went back to his original number. So, but I still think he's the best to have worn it. Now, there was a player that also wore it, but he wouldn't. I probably would be ahead of Neil Sheehy, right? Like with Hartford, he wore number
Neil was
zero.
Way tougher.
He was a lot tougher. And yes, so maybe he fits in. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. It's a fun article on The Athletic. And just to clarify, and it's kind of interesting that you both wore double zero, because in fact, both of you are broadcasting legends. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.